Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 52. Who touched me? Mark 5:30, Luke 8:45, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, 'Who touched me?'" Here is a curious event. Jesus is plodding along as best he can through the streets of Jerusalem. He's being thronged by folks making demands on him, asking for healing, asking for guidance, asking questions to gain his attendance. The crowds are pressing hard against him, and suddenly he asks, "Who touched me?" Jesus thought that his works, his miracles, and ministry were not his, but the works of the Father that dwells in him. He insisted that his method of doing miracles was not an act of his own will, but was only his Father's will set into motion. This was the defense he offered as the reason he healed on the Sabbath day. Power to do miracles was obviously in his control. His mother was well aware of it as she looked to him to rectify the wine shortage at the wedding of Cana. At the request of his mother, he reluctantly did this miracle as an act of his own will. Many other instances showed our Christ Jesus doing miracles by request. "If you will, you can help me," they would say. Then Jesus would answer, "I will." Working as the Father wills, or working as he himself wills, was understandable. But what happened here? When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?"
Recently, Don finished putting his book On the Questions of Jesus in audio format. It's a real joy to hear Don share these insights from the questions of Jesus in the Gospels. It's not your normal audio book, and it's more than just a time of teaching. It's a personal sharing time that really takes you into a deeper understanding of the Messiah and the things that Jesus wants to share with us. Don, why don't you take a moment and talk about the recording of On the Questions of Jesus.
Thank you, Ted. I am excited about the audio version of this book, and almost everyone into whose hands I have placed this book are saying that they're excited about it too. Can I confess something to you? When I'm listening to this book on CD audio or MP3 on the computer, or when I pick it up and read a devotional, sometimes as I read it, I'm hearing it. It's seemingly for the first time. I am convinced that the early hour morning devotion, whence these devotional meditations came, were heavily anointed of the Lord. There's such power and insight in these questions of Jesus, and I'm embarrassed to say such a thing. If I weren't the author of this book, I could speak objectively about it and somehow convince you that you need to have this book or these CDs or the MP3 in your hands to use them in your daily devotions. These devotionals are approximately 10 minutes long. You can listen to them on the way to work, or listen to them at your lunch hour, or whenever you have time. But all of us, especially in these last days, need this time to get aside, to come aside for a while, and listen to the words of Christ. I encourage people as they listen to a question of Jesus that when that question is over, reach over and turn off the stereo and just spend some quiet time before your Messiah, before your Savior, before your Father, and consider your life in the light of his question. The times in which we live are times that necessitate change in our life. They necessitate dedication. They necessitate separation from the world. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that listening to Christian television. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that going to church and immersing yourself in their worldly ways. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that if you don't spend time in quietness before the Father. The audio version of the questions of Jesus, whether you listen on your computer with the MP3 format, or you listen in your car or your home on the CD format, will give you an opportunity that you do not have now. This is not the standard Christian production. This is a time to listen to the words of Christ and let the power of His words change you from the inside and make a difference in your life. I'm excited about the audio version. I would love to know this is in the hands of every one of the people who listen to this broadcast, and what a gift this would make to someone who's struggling, someone who can't seem to find the answers in conventional Christianity. What a wonderful gift this would be to hand to someone. The purchase of the book or the CDs goes to pay for this radio broadcast. It's my intention to put this radio broadcast on every available radio station, on every available radio station that I can afford. The Questions of Jesus is broadcast all over the United States, all through Canada, and indeed all over the world on shortwave radio. It's on several different sites on the internet. My intention is to share these insights with everyone who will listen. Ted?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. That's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Who touched me? Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. As he moved through the street, the crowds grew to the point that they pushed Jesus along and from side to side. A woman came, unseen from the crowd, reached out, and touched the garment of Christ. This act drew virtue, power to be healed, from him. Jesus stopped. He asked, "Who touched me?" He asked again, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus knew that he was speaking only to the one who touched him, for only that person would know why he asked. This disciple said, "Master, everyone is touching you. What do you mean, who touched me?" Silence must have held for a while as the crowd rumbled to a stop. As the dust was just about to settle, a woman, moments earlier electrified with the excitement of being healed of a horrible plague that had taken all of her life and money, was enjoying the moment within herself. She felt in her body that she had been healed. She received what she came for, and her life was to be different from then on. When she came to herself, she heard the deafening silence of the heretofore maddening crowd. She heard whispers racing through the crowd. "Who touched him? Who was it?" Then the voice of Jesus came booming over the others in clear authority and an undeniable request, "Who touched me?" The scriptures say, "And when the woman, knowing what was done in her, saw that she was not hid, she came fearing and trembling immediately and told him all the truth. Falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed." This touch was different than all the rest. In it lies some secret unknown to the theologian and the pious. And it was a very natural act to the woman in need. This touch got the attention of Christ, not because the request was odd or profound or out of the ordinary, but because it drew from Christ what he usually had to exude as an act of his will or as an act of obedience to his Father's will. This woman took from Christ that for which others begged. It impressed him. It may have even disturbed him a little. We're certain that it surprised him, and at last pleased him. You can almost hear a lilt in his response as he comforts her and assures her that she has done well. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And the woman was made whole from that hour. This kind of faith is rare, a faith that doesn't beg or coerce, just makes effective contact, a sort of thy will be done attitude that touches and goes about its business knowing that if God is aware, it's enough. A soul satisfied in knowing that God knows. No begging or pleading a case to prove whether it is a worthy cause. No deals made, no bargains struck, just plain contact. She said, If I can just touch him, just his garment, I'll be healed. For her, it was a matter of only getting near him. Some teach that getting near him is a way to be healed, delivered from trouble, or a way of receiving blessing. Some would entice the selfish to pursue touching Jesus in order to receive from God, a genie's lamp or magic wand sort of a thing, as if it's something you can decide to do. Perhaps rather it should be just a way of life. Maybe it's a way for us to live every day, make our requests known, and let the answers, or the lack of an answer, speak for itself. To seek out Christ and remain near him in our need, and if we receive from him, we're favored and blessed and thankful. This kind of faith brought about healing. It could have as well brought a surprised smile to the face of Jesus. It was different. Jesus is touched, fondled, and handled by the crowd even today. We hear his name used and abused on the television and radio. We see his name on billboards, bumper stickers, hear it vainly used by empty preachers gathering to themselves lambs for shearing. Jesus is being thronged by the irreverent crowds even today as his presence is evoked, coerced, and conjured in our filthy society. But as the dust settles, as the crowd dies down and listens, wouldn't it be nice to be the one who made the genuine contact? Wouldn't it be great to be the one out of all who got what you came for? The one who surprised Christ by your faith? You must live expecting God to care for you. You come without begging, importunity, or coercion, just with a simple faith that God will supply your needs. Faith that if he does not, you'll go your way knowing you touched, you made contact, and it was not to be. All you must do is touch. One day, you may be privileged to raise your hand in response when he asks, Who touched me?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.